anymore.
I got some recruiting news, Cody. Lane Kiffin gets his first commitment of note down at Ole Miss as he gets Demon / Demond Clowney. We had kind of been linked to him maybe on after the early signing period that Tennessee might try to get in mix for the big four-star defensive end. Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin gets him.
Demon Clowney?
Demon / Demond. Demon. I prefer Demon. People said it's Demond.
And that's Jadeveon's younger brother?
Cousin, I believe. Cousin. I don't think it's a brother. I think it's cousin. So he commits to Ole Miss. So that's one more potential name off Tennessee's board as they get set, you know, for the last signing period here. And what, I guess the NBA trade deadline we said was 2 days and 2 weeks away. So I guess early signing period would be 2 weeks and 1 day away. Right, it's usually that first Wednesday of the month, correct? So,
yes.
Tennessee's trying to go out and get one or two more bodies to add to this class. Take Demond Clowney off of the list, but maybe add five-star running back Zachary Evans. Zachary Evans was the five-star running back that had originally signed with Georgia. I guess they were going to do one of those deals where they didn't announce it. I don't know. But either way, he has asked to be released from his letter of intent. Georgia obliged. And now he is back on the market. The thought process was that he was going to go to Texas A&M, which I guess he still could do. He is from the Texas area. Houston, I believe, is where he's from. But Tennessee is now trying to get in with him. They've unleashed Moose on him as Brian Niedermeyer, who, you know, didn't really land anybody big this cycle after being National Recruit of the Year last year, has a chance to salvage and, you know, get a guy, the number one running back in the country, the number 17 player in the country, to get him on board.
That's a guy that that you would like to have. Why is he what was the deal with the Georgia situation? Do you know why?
Yeah, he just asked to be released. I don't know if there's been a reason why. I haven't seen a firm reason why he asked to be released. I don't know. I think the original thought process was, he was going to ask to maybe stay closer to home in the Houston area, but it's not like he committed to Texas A&M yet. He is still looking around.
Well, it seems kind of damning, doesn't it? Like Georgia just to lose a five-star running back that's committed?
Damning on Georgia or damning on the kid?
On Georgia. I mean, because, like, I guess, I don't know, Harrion, he's gone, isn't he? Like, do they have – Swift is gone.
I'm sure they still have other running backs.
I'm sure they do, too, but I think they lost two of their top guys. I would think this guy could come in and play.
So I don't know if I'd call it damning on them just because, like, they did get that Brock Vandergrift guy today, the five-star quarterback. So it's not like the wheels are falling off or anything. They're still recruiting at a high level.
Yeah, they are. I just, you know, I kind of wonder why they're losing. They've just lost some pieces that makes you kind of wonder how that program's going down there. Like, are they –
I've seen more people try to spin it about this Zach Evans kid that I have about Georgia. I've seen more people blame this kid and say, yeah, he's just kind of got some drama that follows him along, more so than blaming Kirby Smart for this one.
I think he seems like a pretty good pretty good kid if he doesn't want to play for Kirby.
Okay.
I think he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Obviously. We'll see. It's down, but, you know, some schools he's thought to be considering, obviously Texas A&M, like I said, Florida. He spoke about Tennessee and says Tennessee's kind of getting in the mix because he thought Tennessee was just out in the country, he said.
Oh.
He came to Knoxville for an unofficial, an unofficial visit late in January of 2019. So I guess he that was a year ago, but he had said, you know, they weren't really on my radar at that point because I thought Tennessee was in the country.
And he wants to be in a large metropolitan area like Knoxville?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. He said, he spoke about what he thought, you know, Derrick Henry. He shouted out Derrick Henry.
Well, has he been to College Station, Texas?
Yeah, somebody might need to warn him about, like, Texas A&M. Like, that is out, like, kind of out in the country.
I mean, I know it's, like, it's a nice center point between, like, Austin, Dallas, and Houston, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
But still, I mean, it's kind of, it's a good ways from those cities.
So we'll see. This guy gets two more visits to take, and maybe Tennessee could get one of those and get some momentum with him and try to land a five-star running back to go with their new freshly minted five-star quarterback that they, were rewarded today. You know, they already had Harrison Bailey, obviously, and people had argued for a while about whether or not he should be a five-star and just how good he was. But Rivals has agreed with Tennessee fans and said Harrison Bailey is now their second-rated quarterback, and he is a five-star quarterback. Harrison Bailey gets his fifth star, Cody. Do you care about that?
I saw that earlier, that he had gotten his fifth star from Rivals.
Got his fifth star.
I mean, it doesn't really make any difference, does it? Either way, the expectations on him are going to be really high.
So that doesn't change the five-star?
I don't think it changes the expectations. I think the expectations are already very, very high.
I think I would agree with that. Cam, fifth-star do anything for you, for Harrison Bailey? Because, like Cody said, a lot of people already thought this guy was special, although maybe the people who didn't think he was special now go, oh, okay, five-star. He's that type of guy.
I may just put a tad more pressure on him, but, yeah, in the grand scheme, it doesn't really do anything for me.
Okay.
There's one other thing, by the way, on this Zachary Evans guy.
It does sound cooler if you're, like, starting a true freshman five-star quarterback versus a true freshman four-star quarterback.
Yeah, yeah.
The fifth-star does carry weight around the country, I think, but locally I agree with both of you, like maybe just a little bit more pressure, but not much. Some more stuff on Zach Evans. What do you got?
He is, according to 247, he's their 34th highest-ranked prospect ever.
Really?
So not only is he a five-star, but he's like a .99999. Like, he's very, very, very high star. Ahead of guys like Percy Harvin. And you remember that Chantrell Henderson, that big tackle that ended up going to USC? Or he was committed to USC? I don't know if you remember him. He's ahead of guys like Jimmy Clausen, Mark Sanchez.
Some real studs.
Byron Cowart. I'm just saying in the recruiting rankings.
Not sure.
He's up there with, like his name is mentioned with, like, the Ted Ginns of the world.
Okay.
The Bryce Browns.
Yeah, some elite prospects. Bryce Brown, you can laugh, but Bryce Brown was so good he barely played college football and still made the NFL.
Oh, yeah, no, he was good. He was talented, but
Julio, it's just funny because, he barely played and still. Okay, Julio, there you go.
Julio, Dexter Lawrence, Jabril Peppers, Miles Garrett. Like, he's up there with some elite prospects.
So that's probably why all these schools are like, okay, yeah, he's worth the trouble.
Cyrus Quanjo.
This would be a nice, coup for Moose and the boys if they could actually get this signed. We'll see if it happens, but, Tennessee does have a five-star quarterback and a five-star offensive line heading into next year. Might as well throw a five-star running back in there.
I wonder who the highest-rated prospect is to not make it, because most of these guys you recognize.
Who was that first guy you mentioned, the lineman?
Cyrus Quanjo.
Yeah, he was played good at Alabama. He was good, though, right? Yeah. See him in the NFL?
I don't know. You know who the highest-rated prospect ever?
No, I don't.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, okay. That probably would have been my guess, yeah. If I actually had to think about it.
And then Robert Kimdichie.
Really? When do these recruiting rankings start happening? Two? They didn't start happening until, 2000 or something, right? Like, the Rivals and them haven't been doing this forever.
Yeah. I mean, Vince Young is rated really high, class of 02. Class of 2000, DJ Williams, Brock Berlin.
Who's DJ Williams?
I don't know.
So did he make it?
What position?
I don't know. Committed to Miami. I don't know if he ended up playing at Miami.
You're just asking the highest rated guy to not make it. DJ Williams seems like he
might be that guy.
Mitch Mustaine.
I remember Mitch Mustaine.
He was a bust, apparently.
He was the guy.
Number 9 player in the 06 class.
Yeah, it was Mitch Mustaine, Damian Williams, and there was another guy. They were a package deal. And they were supposed to go to Arkansas, and Houston Nutt couldn't land them, and they went to USC. And then maybe they came, somebody
came
back.
Mustaine was at, he transferred to USC after Arkansas.
Yeah.
So the good player, the good players went to USC, and then Mitch Mustaine went to Arkansas
Malzahn,
for a year.
They played for Malzahn at Springdale, and Houston Nutt, that's kind of where Malzahn emerged. It was with that really good high school team that had Mustaine and Damian Williams. And there was another guy, too. I think it was a tight end. But, yeah, they went to USC.
Whitney Lewis, USC receiver, was the number 1 receiver, number 2 player in the 03 class. Don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of these guys' names.
Yeah, these are
Doriel
like
Green
bust,
Beckham. I remember
yeah.
him.
I mean, Doriel Green Beckham was really good. I wouldn't call him a bust. He just couldn't stay clean.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that kind of made him a bust, though.
Well, when we're talking bust, you're talking about like in college or the NFL? Because
I just Googled highest like prospects that turned out to bust.
Was Doriel Green Beckham one of them?
Not on this list I'm looking at.
Joe McKnight.
Perilou, the
LSU quarterback, yeah. Right? Perilou, yeah, I remember him.
Like even Joe McKnight, was he a bust? Didn't Joe McKnight get stabbed to death, too? Is he dead now?
Yeah, he's dead.
Okay.
Yep.
R.I.P.
So this probably got to call him a bust. I think if they don't make it, you kind of.
Yeah, but he made the NFL. He played with the Jets.
Yeah, but, you know, he got stabbed, so.
Yeah.
Does that make you a worse prospect?
No, but it does make you a bust.
I mean, did he accomplish what everyone thought? Maybe not, but I feel like injuries and death kind of trump out the bust label. No? You don't agree?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like if you get injured or you die, you don't get labeled as a bust. Like, you get a pass.
What if you die in your first year and you're not playing very well?
I still give you a pass.
So you don't even get so you at least because you would normally get a second year to redeem yourself.
Yeah, the death trumps it out. You are okay.
So
you will not be labeled as a bust.
Then in the same regard, you got to think maybe we're awarding the death, you know, which I know you have a problem with that in music. That's why some people say Kurt Cobain is overrated.
There's a difference between calling somebody a bust and then labeling them a legend, though. I don't think we have to go out and say Joe McKnight was a legend or anything.
Like we do with Kurt Cobain.
Right, we don't have to do all that.
I like Cobain, though.
I mean, I'm not the one saying anything about Kurt Cobain. I'm just saying.
He's one of those guys that gets mentioned,
he is.
Like, because he died young. Like,
yeah.
Was he really that great?
Yeah.
You know?
Bleacher Janis Joplin number one benefited a lot from that. Fred Rouse, the Florida State receiver.
Yeah, Janis Joplin.
Never heard of him.
Apparently a big-time recruit. He played one season. I mean, transferred to UTEP and ended up flaming out. Didn't even really play there.
Yeah, I can't imagine it went very well for him at UTEP.
Well, we don't have any commitments on this list other than Bryce Brown that are higher than this Zachary Evans guy. So he would be our biggest commitment of all time, according to 247.
Yeah, I would say Bryce Brown was a bust for Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you know, he ended up at Kansas State, didn't he? And then he was at some community college, and then, boom, NFL.
He's on Bleacher Report's list of the top 20
Yeah,
bust.
He would have to be in there.
And number 19.
Congrats to us. We made the list, guys.
We made it twice.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Over. It is crazy to me, but I think it's pretty accurate. I think we all kind of accept it. That fifth star does bring about different pressure. And in the grand scheme of things, how different is it? How different is it really? Like Harrison Bailey was a four-star yesterday. He wakes up now, he is a five-star quarterback. Whether or not it actually matters, it does create more pressure. There aren't any four stars on that list, right, in terms of biggest bust?
Nope, yeah.
It might create more pressure on him in the long term, but, I mean, for us right now, I think it's going to be about the same. I don't think there are going to be more people today that see the five-star and think he should be able to come in here and play immediately. They're already thinking that. I mean, I don't think one star is going to make the difference in that. I think he's already got a ton of pressure on him.
I think whenever people hear it next year and hear it in the spring and hear it when it comes to, you know, fall practice and the whole five-star quarterback thing gets beat in your head, because I do think it's going to become a part of his name now. Five-star incoming freshman Harrison Bailey, five-star quarterback Harrison Bailey. it becomes a little different. People hear fifth stars and think superstar, granted or not.
Maybe guys like Trevor Lawrence and Tua kind of maybe they were just special kind of quarterbacks and had a lot of talent around them, and now maybe they're going to ruin it for the other guys that are five stars.
Right. Cam, I guess it's going to be a kind of a tough exercise, but maybe go to like Rivals or 247 or one of those and maybe get a list of kind of the last couple of years of five-star quarterbacks. Because I don't imagine many of them sit on the bench unless they are behind superstars. Right? I mean, like how many – like Bo Nix, five-star quarterback, he got to start, and I don't even think he was very good.
Well, I mean –
But how many get to go – how many five-star quarterbacks don't start as freshmen?
I don't know. And see, that's what makes our situation so unique, because we've got a senior starter returning. And obviously Garantano is not nearly as talented as people expect this Harrison Bailey guy to be, but just you look at the difference in experience, though, and I think it's just it's vast.
Yeah, but the experience is one thing, but the perceived talent is a different thing.
Perceived talent is good, but – true freshman versus a guy that's been around, I mean, what now? He's going into his just fourth year or fifth year?
Fifth year. This will be his fifth
year.
Yeah,
he's a redshirt. So, I mean, it's just
I mean, I guess last year you had what, Spencer Rattler sit? Spencer Rattler sat. He was a five-star number one quarterback in the country. He didn't play at Oklahoma.
But he's behind
Jalen
Hurts.
Last year, 247 only had two five-star quarterbacks.
247 did?
Yeah, and it was Rattler and Bo Nix.
Okay.
Only 2 5-stars.
Okay, so yeah, Bo Nix played as a freshman. Spencer Rattler set on a playoff-contending team behind Jalen Hurts, a guy who, you know, would you call him a special college quarterback?
Jalen Hurts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You would, I mean, like, yeah. I don't think that's unfair to say.
No, I think he's one of the best in the last, you know, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years. He ranks highly.
2018, you had Trevor Lawrence,
yep,
who started the year kind of on the bench but was getting reps from day one, right? Like, him and Kelly Bryant were splitting reps at the beginning. Justin Fields, though, however, sat an entire year.
And then left.
And then left.
Because he was sitting.
There's also JT Daniels at USC. I can't remember if he played or not.
He got hurt. Okay. I think he was one of their guys that got hurt. I think he was playing. I know he got reps. I don't know if he was a starter or the backup, but they had their first two guys go down.
I thought that Slovis guy beat him out or beat somebody up.
I thought Slovis was the third string guy that came in and they caught kind of lightning in a bottle with him.
It might, maybe so.
I thought that's how that went.
I don't remember. You're probably right.
I thought they had three guys go down. So far we've got like maybe Slovis, I guess. Who had to sit on the bench. And then Spencer Rattler behind Jalen Hurts. And Trevor Lawrence came in on a playoff team and sat for a little bit, but was getting reps pretty much immediately. And, who was the other one? Is that it?
Well, Tua was
2017.
But, yeah, I mean.
Tua was not a true freshman, right?
No, he was. He was, and he sat a full year.
So Tua and Trevor Lawrence were both true freshmen when they started balling out?
No, well, yes, but I mean those are different years. Tua was
no,
the year before.
Yeah, okay. I know that, but okay. They both did, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking earlier. They might kind of ruin it for these other guys now. Like if we're, you know, people are just going to point to them. Like if we start Garantano and he's playing bad in week two, people are going to look at it and say, "Hey, you got a 5-star. Look what Bama did with Tua. Look what Clemson did with Trevor Lawrence. You can't just leave him on the bench."
JT Daniels started against Fresno State.
Okay.
Rob, he played against Fresno State. He threw 34 passes. I don't know who got the first reps, I guess.
Sounds like he played most of the game at quarterback.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if somebody got hurt before. Let me check. USC. Yeah, JT Daniels started the first series. So that was a 5-star, right? So he came in as a 5-star freshman that was going to start.
So then
at some point he got hurt at the end of the game, but he played.
Yeah, 19 was Rattler, Nix. 18 was Lawrence, Fields, Daniels. 17 was Davis Mills at Stanford, who I haven't heard of. I don't think he's played.
Never heard of her.
Davis Mills?
Yeah.
Davis.
He was the number one quarterback in 2017 and ranked above Tua. And he went to Stanford and
He did not play his first year. He played and he threw two passes and, you know, wasn't a starter there. and he was a five-star at Stanford. Yeah. I guess he would have been behind who? Like, would he have been behind Costello at that point?
It would have been, yeah, in 2017, yeah, I think. Ooh.
His first year would have been 2018, so.
Yeah, I guess KJ Costello, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, not behind a stud by any means. And okay, so maybe there's one.
I've been 16 with Shea Patterson and Jacob Eason.
Okay. Eason started as a true freshman, yeah, and Shea Patterson as well, correct?
Yeah, and Ole Miss, yeah.
So, you know, the exercise here shows that either you're sitting behind a stud on a team that has championship aspirations a la Jalen Hurts, or you went out, usually. Right? Like, Spencer Rattler is the only five-star that hasn't gotten in the game so far. And then, you know, Davis Mills at Stanford, whatever the hell they're doing over there, they seem like they're kind of running a different program, playing a different sport,
yeah,
with the way they handle things.
Yeah, so, I mean, it kind of makes you expect that Harrison Bailey's going to be on the field this year. If he's anything like he's expected to be.
Tweeter writes in, does a fifth star put more pressure on the coaching staff to give him a legitimate shot or keep starting JG? I mean, I think that was kind of the, you know, what we were figuring out with this exercise. I think the five stars makes the casual fan, like I said, it's going to be attached to his name all the time, right? And there's a big portion of our fan base who has seen Garantano play and probably isn't, you know, blown away by him, right, to put it nicely. Do you think there are any Tennessee fans who are blown away with the quarterback play we've gotten and, like, think it's ridiculous that he could be unseated?
No, no, no.
I mean, there's some.
I think everybody going into it at least recognizes they might roll with Garantano, but this guy's going to contend for it.
Right, and even then, even if you are a Garantano supporter, it's because, A, you didn't have anything better than him the last couple of years, and B, he's tough, and he's your quarterback. You're going to support him. It's not like you're like you think he is a elite level quarterback.
Yeah, he's the highest ranked guy that's signed with Tennessee too.
Bailey,
as Houston just pointed out, our highest quarterback that's ever signed with Tennessee.
Okay,
I mean Tennessee has never signed a quarterback.
Sure,
as highly touted.
And the rating, you know, the rankings started after Peyton Manning.
Yeah,
like I would assume Peyton Manning was a better prospect, but like the rankings. They didn't do these back then. So, you know, basically since, let's just call it 2001 or so, I believe that's when the ranking started, Harrison Bailey's your highest-rated quarterback. I do think the fifth star is going to be big for the casual fans who don't really follow recruiting and follow this. They're going to hear five-star quarterback, and they're going to expect him to come in and play as a freshman.
So you think it raises the expectations a bit?
With the casual people. Like I said, there's some people like you, Cody, that you know the people you're talking about, that you're saying people already have these expectations on Harrison Bailey. I guarantee you someone like my mother didn't know anything about this guy. But if she starts reading on her Facebook page, you know, on her Vol for Life Facebook page, wherever,
five-star.
And keeps seeing five-star, 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 and hear it, that raises the expectation for people like her. And there's a lot of people like her who – sort of, kind of, know a little bit about recruiting, but don't really care about it until they start playing. Or they'll hear about some guys, and they know that five's obviously a big deal, and you know, four stars don't really move the needle for them.
Four stars more common.
Right.
You want a team loaded with four stars, but when you hear five stars,
you expect better. You expect you expect stud.
You expect your guy that can get to the NFL at that point.
So to answer the question of whether or not it gives more pressure on the coaching staff, I mean, I think people are going to expect him to get a fair shake. Now, whether or not that puts pressure on the coaching staff, like Jeremy Pruitt doesn't really seem like the type that's going to care what the fans think.
No, he's going to do what he thinks gives his team the best shot at winning.
And I will say that he has shown that he will juggle quarterbacks. He says he's going to treat it like every other position. If a quarterback gets beat a couple times, you put him on the bench. Doesn't mean he's benched forever. You put him back in and let him go. Quarterback position, he's shown that all year long, right? I mean, he was putting Maurer in, taking Maurer out. Maurer's winning games, take him out. Or Maurer's giving the team a spark, doesn't get his job back type of thing. JG, even in the bowl game, and gets set for what, two possessions, one possession? I guess it was just one possession, but set him down. Maurer even went and scored a field goal. Even gave you a scoring drive. Now, granted, you dropped a couple interceptions on that drive, and Maurer didn't look good, but then you went right back to JG.
If I had to guess, I would think that Harrison Bailey will probably be starting by week 5 against Missouri.
That would trouble me if that's the case, because that would probably mean that the first two big games haven't gone well if you're making a quarterback change.
Well, that's kind of what I expect.
That would be troubling. That I don't like that reality.
Well, what I'm thinking is we go out to Oklahoma and JG has decent numbers against a Big 12 defense, albeit they were better last year, but still, I don't think their defense is great. I could see that being one of those games where JG's all right against the Oklahoma defense. Not good, but just average enough. Keep us in the game. We perform well, we lose. And then by Florida, when he has to face that good D-line and an elite SEC defense, he probably struggles really badly, and we get beat up by Florida. I think that might be the path if you start Garantano, and then Bailey becomes your starter for the Missouri game, and you're 2-2.
Could you see this situation play out exactly like Clemson did?
How did theirs go?
Clemson was just playing Bailey, Lawrence and Bryant, just giving them both reps, and then by game 4, Kelly Bryant said, okay, I'm out. Now, granted that, JG wouldn't be able to do that because he already would have exhausted his eligibility. But Kelly Bryant said, I'm not playing a fifth game. I'm redshirting. I'm out of here. See ya. Because they had given the starting job to Trevor Lawrence.
Well, yeah, I mean, that could be a possibility.
But you played both quarterbacks.
Yeah, the only thing is I don't ever see Garantano quitting.
Yeah.
I think he's in it for the long haul.
Well, plus, it wouldn't be any benefit to him at that point because he will have used his eligibility. Like, if he's going to stay here for his senior year, there's no benefit in him packing it in.
Well, I think he's a competitive guy. I think he's going to want to stay on the roster and prove that he can be the guy. And whether you think he can or not, whether you think he sucks, I mean, fine. But I think mentally, that's what he's going to want to do. I don't think he's not going to quit in the middle of the season or something like that.
So far, it has seemed that's not his style.
No,
right? I mean, he had the chance to do that this year.
He's a competitor. And it really just – what this all comes down to is if Harrison Bailey is good enough. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
If he comes out and he's Trevor Lawrence or not even Trevor Lawrence, but if he comes out and he's – I don't know who to compare him to, but I don't know. Let's just say freshman-level Trevor Lawrence before the national championship game.
Sure, where he went to a different level.
Yeah, where he wasn't thought of as the next Peyton Manning, but he was at least really, really good. If he comes out and looks like that, it's going to be – you can't keep him off the field.
People are already thinking that about
Trevor
Lawrence at that point. But
which is, the expectation. I mean, that's the thing with getting the fifth star, I guess.
Yeah.
Expectations high, right? But
I mean, I'll be honest – I put it at the feet of my mother, but I'm not that far off. Like, it raises my expectations a little bit. Just the difference between the fourth and fifth star.
Would it help if it was on both 247 and Rivals? Or would we just take one of them and run with it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Sure. Like, if he was a unquestioned five-star, it makes things a little different, sure. But we know how this works among the fan base. We go with the highest rated.
Yeah, but really he's like a borderline five-star.
Sure, But I mean, just getting that fifth one and being the second rated quarterback in the class by Rivals, that's a big deal.
It's all going to come down to how good he is, which I know that's simple to say that, but that's what it's going to be. If he's really good, you won't be able to keep him off the field. The guys that are that good emerge. What do they say? The cream rises to the top.
The cream rises.
If he's as good as Trevor Lawrence in his freshman year or close to that, he's going to be playing. So, surely to God, our coaches will be able to see that. I don't think there will be some loyalty to JG at that point. Pruitt wants to win.
Now, I will say I do have a lot of confidence in our coaching staff when it comes to that.
Yeah, whereas, like a Butch Jones, he had loyalty to his guys.
To a fault. Like,
yeah.
To a fault. Yeah. I will say that if there's one thing I feel confident about this coaching staff, I think they can coach defense. I think they'll always be able to put a good defense on the field from here on out. And I think that they will do – I think that they will put the people that they think can win football out on the field. And that seems really simple, but that's not always the case.
No.
Sometimes you get wrapped up in who's your guy, or sometimes you get wrapped up into who's higher rated and – what school they went to in high school and like how that is going to affect your pipeline with, I'm not going to be able to go back to Marietta, Georgia if I don't put this guy on the field. Not going to be able to go out there and get those prospects in Georgia.
You can't worry about that. You know, you gotta just play the guys you got to play.
And I will say that Pruitt has at least proven that to me this last year with the way he handled the quarterback position. The fact that he was willing to go out and juggle guys around, even when it looked stupid to do.
And, you know, there's already a lot of people talking about Tennessee as that dark horse. Like there's a feeling out there that we might just be a quarterback away from really being the team to compete for the East.
Is that accurate? Because some of the things I've seen are people saying that we're the best case of like regression, like team that's going to be overrated, team that got hot late in the year against bad opponents, but like now they're going to come in with inflated
self-worth.
Yeah, and then kind of go back to 6 or 8-4, 7-5 type of team.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Some people who like do the – I want to say like even Bill Conley was saying that, the S&P guy on ESPN, analytic guy, has said that Tennessee is a prime candidate to be overrated coming into next year.
And that might be true because, you know, we won all those games, but we didn't really beat anybody.
Right, and that's kind of what their point was. And, you know, it was a good performance. They weren't taken away from a performance, but just saying – that's not necessarily going to mean that you're set to go out and start beating good teams next year.
Yeah,
type
but, man,
of thing.
I think with that O-line coming back.
Agree. And granted, this was before Trey Smith and Cade Mays. This was before that.
I mean, I don't want to get too excited. Like, I don't think we have a ton of offensive skill players. Now that we're losing Jennings and Callaway, I think we got to find some guys to fill in. You know, like they say, Palmer's good, Gibbs is good, but that's still going to be a bit of a drop-off, a receiver. We got to find some skill players, but I really think that offensive line coming back means a whole lot,
and
more than people realize.
And like we kind of talked about, this math could change with everybody.
Yeah,
this math could change with everybody if you all of a sudden drop in a new quarterback and he can play. Like, the projections are, you know, not taking that possibility into account. That maybe you have a guy, and they don't come around often. When they do come around, they're usually 5 stars though. That maybe you have a guy that can come in and be a game changer, and he can take your offense and he can put your skill players in a different position, and you can score more points.
And we see that all around college football, but we've never really had it since Peyton Manning. I mean, Dobbs
wasn't one of those guys though. He wasn't. Dobbs was great by his junior year and his senior year, but like freshman Josh Dobbs was not somebody you could drop in.
Oh God,
and win. Like
not even junior Josh Dobbs. I mean, really, as far as passing
sure,
goes.
Junior Josh Dobbs, I think, was also not helped by coaching. But, like, freshman Josh Dobbs, I don't think there was any hope for him, even with, like, great coaching.
But if you remember, the passing was never there with Dobbs. Really until his last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we were
his junior year, you lost some games because he couldn't pass. Now, I think a good offensive coach could have fixed those things and had that fixed by junior year.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, freshman Josh Dobbs was not ready. He was raw. He was, you know, fourth string on the depth chart for a while. Yeah. So, like, you know, he wasn't that guy.
No.
And, again, these guys don't come around often. But I will say, Tennessee's offensive line and Tennessee's first big opponent, Oklahoma, provide pretty good opportunities for a young guy to come in and be a game changer. What I mean by that is obviously your five-star offensive line can protect you, right? And, you know, the run game with Eric Gray should be pretty damn good next year. And Oklahoma, if there's one thing about them, they're a big name brand, big stage, all that stuff. But what's been their weakness the last decade?
Their defense.
Their defense.
I think we'll blow them off the ball. Now, that doesn't mean we'll win the game.
Sure.
We got to stop their offense and all that.
Sure.
But.
Now, again, I have some confidence in our defense. We'll see how they upgrade people and how these young guys can progress this offseason. But you know, Oklahoma, I know they've been recruiting better on defense lately, and their defense is improving and blah, blah, blah. It's still not good. Like, you still saw what LSU did to them. I'm not saying Tennessee can do that, but I'm saying Tennessee can lean on the ground game and do a little Tennessee Titans type of offense, right? 4, 5, 6, 7 yard runs, open up some play action, give your guy easy throws.
Just got to hope Spencer Rattler's not Patrick Mahomes.
You are correct about that.
Which I don't think he is.
He might be.
Not yet.
He might be. Who knows? Mahomes had to sit a year in the NFL too, and Rattler said a year. Who knows? Maybe they'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
There are probably some similarities between Alex Smith and Jalen Hurts. There are little similarities between those two. Like solid quarterbacks, if the talent's good around you, you can win. But then, like, hey, this new guy comes in that can make all the throws and they take off. Like, then there is a little bit potential for that. But okay, hour one of the books. Who knew? Hey, I bet you didn't think you were going to talk quarterbacks again today, huh?
I like talking quarterbacks.
We talked quarterbacks again today. Hour one is in the books. Hour two is on deck. It's Talk Sports. It's Fan Run Radio.
My name is John Reed, and for years people made fun of me for not drinking beer. I tried to find some replacements, but they were all far too sugary and left me feeling bad. Lucky for me, I found Truly Hard Seltzer. It's refreshing with only 1 gram of sugar. You truly love to see it.
It's the dawn of a new game day, and Truly Hard Seltzer is subbing in for light beer. With 5% ABV, only 100 calories, and that's light and refreshing. Game day with Truly Hard Seltzer. Drink what you truly want. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, drink responsibly.
I really thought you were going to segue from your weed talk to Crystal's filing for bankruptcy. Really thought you were going to do that.
I was trying to inform our audience of America's marijuana laws, and you cut me off. Cam and I were in the middle of a very engaged discussion.
Yeah, it seemed like right down both of your wheelhouses.
We were trying to help people in the airports of this country.
I don't know how many of our listeners are going to be flying to, like, Utah and Oregon or California anytime soon.
I'm sure a lot of people travel out west.
A what?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
I know you don't leave the house, but a lot of people like to travel.
I've been all over the place. I've lugged a lot of miles the last 3 weekends.
You have the last 3 weekends.
That was one of my New Year's resolutions. We didn't make any resolutions for our show, by the way.
No, we didn't do that this year.
I thought it was helpful for me last year.
The other ones worked so well.
Mine worked great last year. I kept all three of mine.
We didn't get to talk about the quarterback situation all year.
I didn't. My resolutions from last year worked perfectly.
What were yours other than talk about quarterbacks?
The three-hour members, we weren't going to argue about Tennessee's quarterback situation. We never once argued about it. I didn't argue with anybody about it. So I was going to play fantasy baseball. I did. I didn't like it. Not going to do it again. But I did it. It didn't really help me stay more engaged with baseball. It didn't really help work, so I'm not playing it again. And number three was I wasn't going to argue with anybody online or anywhere about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Every time somebody tried to start an argument about that, just was able to high-step it, ignore it.
I just don't argue with anyone online about anything. You should try that. It's very nice. Just throw things out there. Just put your thoughts out there.
Mute conversation?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a wonderful feeling.
There's a lot of Kansas City fans or people that were trying to stomp on the grave of the third-best team in the league, the Tennessee Titans. Like, that's – we lost. I mean, big deal. I mean, like, it doesn't – doesn't mean we suck. We lost. Chiefs were good. Congratulations. A lot of people doing that. I just kept muting conversation, muting conversation, muting conversation.
Or just mute those people or block those people.
Yeah.
I have a real problem.
It's easier to mute the conversation. That way you could get notifications about the retweets, the quote tweets, the likes, just new people.
I've muted so many people. Now I get things where like people will tag me and I don't see it. Or I miss a lot of things now because I've muted so many people.
That's unfortunate to our audience who probably feels like you have muted them.
I have. A lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the ones that are nice and friendly.
Sure.
But I've muted a lot of people that are, you know, they've said things. I didn't like what they said, so I muted them.
Sure.
Could have blocked them. Didn't do that.
That's growth.
Yeah. Muting someone's a powerful feeling, though, because you can just – they can still reply to you and take the time out of their day to say something to you.
Okay.
You just don't ever see it.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Whereas with blocking someone, you know, then they just – you cut off all engagement.
I only block people who are in the block. But I do throw some mutes around every now and then. But like I said, usually I don't mute the person. I just mute the conversation.
Or do you ever have one that, like, you have a mutual following with someone, but they're very annoying? Like, their tweets are very annoying, but you could never unfollow them or block them. Because, like, maybe you met them at somewhere.
Sure.
And you talked to them in person, and they're a nice person, so you followed each other. And then, you know, so you don't want to unfollow
them. Yeah, you just mute them.
There's a guy like that I have, you know. I met him at a bar one time, and we talked for a long time. He was a nice guy, but... now all he does is like tweet about like EDM music. His tweets are very annoying.
Okay.
So I've muted him, but I don't want to go to the extent of unfollowing him.
That's nice.
Because I think that he might think back to that night in the bar like, wow, I thought this guy was a friend.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I get it.
So, you know, it's a odd world out there.
I thought that the sports resolutions helped. I think I followed all three of mine. I think I'm debating on whether or not I should open back up the idea of arguing about Tennessee's quarterback position, because we talked about that in hour one. Thoughts on that? Should that stay off the table? Because it did help the show a lot. It did help my mental I don't want to say mental health. That's a little too dramatic. But it did help me just not engage with people on the internet that were saying dumb things.
I don't know. I like when we can be different than the other shows on our station. Because, like, all the other shows do that.
Yeah, so we should just stick with it?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's all, like, which, I don't know. I guess every show has kind of their own crowd, their own people that like them. But that's just, I don't know. If you're somebody that likes listening to the station all day, you probably don't want to hear the same thing over and over and over and over again, right? I always like that we can be the kind of the change of pace show.
Okay. So I will continue to not argue about the Tennessee quarterback position.
That's fine with me. And until we get to a point
our
where
our official stance is we trust the coaches. Trustees trust the coaches. The coaches will play the best players.
They get paid to do this.
Sounds
kind of
weird to say.
They'll pay the best players?
No, play the best players.
Oh, and pay them. Pay the best players, too.
I would imagine the best players get paid more than the not good players.
They should pay the
best
players.
I just think the whole take of trust the coaches is pretty naive and sounds like you've been bought off. I don't want to, like, I was joking about that statement, but whatever.
I think
it'll work itself out.
I think people know we haven't been bought off.
Yeah.
We can be. If
sure.
Well, I won't speak for you, but
cut the check.
I can be. If
cut the check. CTC.
CTC. Yeah.
Cut the check.
Yeah. Cut the check, and we'll, I'll sheep it up all the time. Yeah. I'll be a PR front for the university if that's what you want.
There we go.
Who would you rather have as a spokesman?
Than you? Nobody.
Or just us. Us or the
you'd be a good spokesman because people would be like, oh, this guy's been around. Yeah. This guy's been around the block. He's got experiences. He's not some professional shill.
This guy sounds like somebody that knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Professional.
Yeah. All you got to do is cut a check if you're listening.
CTC. So we're going to keep the quarterback one?
I mean, maybe until we have to. Talk about it. Is there a difference in talking about it and arguing about it? I mean,
talking about it and arguing about it. I'm going to specify argue. We'll talk about it.
We talked about it the first hour,
and we talked about it last year. We just didn't argue about it. I didn't argue with people about it. When I say argue, I mean like arguing with people about it who have their mind made up, and you know, they want to be convinced of why so and so should play and all that. Hmm. I'm going to go to another road game this year. I kind of enjoy going to the road NFL games. And I'm going to – this might be a bad one for the station, but I'm going to go to a couple Tennessee football games this year. I don't know if that means like I'll have to skip voluntary reaction or what, but I really want to go to Norman.
Okay.
Maybe we could just take it on the road. I don't know how that would work, but I want to go to Norman, Oklahoma.
Well,
that's going to be on my resolution list because who knows the next time we'll play them. There. I skipped it in 2015, and, you know, that could have been my only, like, shot for the last, like, for the next, like, 30 years, but luckily we put them back on the schedule for some reason.
I mean, I have an open trip since we're not going to Miami. I can plan for a different one. Is that really where we want to go, though? Do we want to spend the time to drive to Norman, Oklahoma?
Do you have a better suggestion?
Fly?
We don't have to, I didn't say anything about driving. We can fly. Oh.
You probably can't even fly into – how close is Norman to – I guess you fly into Oklahoma City or
– I have zero clue, buddy.
Is it close to Tulsa?
I don't know. Can you even fly into – does Tulsa have a national airport?
Yeah, I've flown out of Tulsa before.
Have you? Okay, well, of course, I don't really want to have a car in Oklahoma City either because, you know, I guess we could fly.
We don't have to go to Norman. My guy TC from Volunteer Vodka texts in, says – Norman sucks. Says the day the girl went to Oklahoma, don't go to Norman.
It sounds like a place
that
sucks.
Okay, well, where else do you want to go? Because I don't really want to go to – unless we go to Athens. We could do Athens.
Athens would be –
But Athens depends on us being good. Let's just say, all right, Norman's out. Maybe also go to Norman, but that won't be my resolution. Sports resolution will go to an away SEC game this year. And I assume our best bet will be Athens.
Be cool if we were playing it. At like USC.
Well, we're not. We are playing at USC in Columbia. You want to go to Columbia?
I've been to Columbia. I'm good.
I'm going to continue that to be my yearly resolution of not going to Columbia, South Carolina.
Well, why don't we just go to a Titans road game?
We can do that. I got my eye on Minnesota. I'm going to go to Minnesota for the for our Titans road game
Mall
next year.
Mall of America.
They got a heated Skyway. You can walk around the whole city like indoors in the heat, so it's not that cold. The whole city like connects, like, you know, with not tunnels. Obviously, tunnels are underground, but like a skyway.
You referring to a rail system?
Just like you walk though.
You walk.
Yeah.
Around the city.
Mm-hmm. Like their downtown. Their downtown area is like inverted in the sky.
Why wouldn't you just walk on the sidewalk?
Because it's cold. Because it's really cold in Minnesota.
You bundle up.
I think they wanted something more efficient.
Okay.
Something better for their people.
So they have a heated skywalking system.
Yeah.
Bunch of skywalkers.
Shout out to Luke.
How about that? Rest in peace.
Is Luke still the biggest Skywalker? Has he been passed by the other girl? The girl from the latest movies. What's her name? Raina? Was it Raina?
I think it's Ray.
Ray? Okay. Luke's still bigger than Ray, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he's dead, though. I don't know. I don't keep up with
Thanks
him.
Thanks a lot, Kim.
Well.
I've only seen the original
trilogy. Spoiler alert, bro. Damn.
I don't know. He's not as cool as Baby Yoda.
So Minnesota sounds fun. I'm going to go to Minnesota for a road game in the NFL.
Okay.
I haven't been on the road to watch the Vols in a while. It's been since 2016.
Well, we're just not going anywhere cool this year. Fayetteville's a pretty good time.
I will not be going to Fayetteville.
Dixon Street's a good bar.
Unless your buddy Mo from back home will be there.
My buddy Mo from back home will house us.
Okay, then I might be able to be convinced to go to Fayetteville. We'll go watch Felipe Franks.
I mean, the
Halloween. I don't know if I want to spend Halloween in Fayetteville.
It's a nice place.
Isn't that game on Halloween? I know it's like Halloween weekend.
It's Halloween night.
No, not going to Fayetteville.
It is a nice place.
I'm sorry, but I'm not spending my Halloween.
Dixon, it's a good bar street. Very good bar street.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield had a time there.
It's a good bar street.
You remember what happened to
Baker?
Yeah.
What'd you go to Arkansas for? Track?
Track. Okay. They had a really cool bar with a super sweet gimmick, but I'm going to steal for a bar one day.
They got some good bars.
Don't say it over the airs.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say it.
We'll talk later.
You remember Baker Mayfield. He got arrested there.
Okay. Maybe... That just doesn't seem like a game with a lot of stakes.
No, it doesn't.
No.
I mean, well, are any of these games going to...
Georgia could be.
Georgia could.
Oklahoma could be.
Georgia's the answer. There's a fourth one, South Carolina.
I already made a vow to not go to Columbia, South Carolina.
South Carolina, Oklahoma. Is there another road game?
There'll be four SEC road games. There always are.
Well, what's the... Vandy.
Vandy.
Been to Nashville.
Georgia, South Carolina, and then what?
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Maybe Oklahoma?
You just said we weren't going to Oklahoma. My guy TC said we can't go to Norman. It sucks.
But for the game might be.
Well, that was my whole point, and then you vetoed me.
We're just working through it. I mean, that's, you know, I'm trying to think of the best destination. You know, like you said, Arkansas, there's no stakes. Georgia would be number one, but we just don't know if we'll be good by then.
Yeah, that's the problem. See, Oklahoma is the beginning of the year. I assume we're not going to lose to Charlotte. Is that our first game? I assume we're not going to lose that game again this year.
Remember Georgia State last year?
That's why I'm going to assume we're not going to lose it. Who knows? We could, but I'm going to assume we're not going to lose it. So, like Oklahoma, you're guaranteed to feel good about yourself going into the game.
You're guaranteed to have hope. Kind of like when we went on the bus to the West Virginia game.
Yeah, that seemed really dumb in hindsight.
Yeah, well, I had a good time.
That's good. So we're going to leave it open. We're not going to lock down the location yet. Either way, we'll go to a road game this year. Or I'll go to a road game. You guys are invited. But that's something I want to do again. I haven't been able to do it in 17, 18, or 19. So I might have to miss the postgame show or might have to make other arrangements. But I miss doing that. That was like what this playoff run reminded me. I like going to big games. That's one of my favorite things to do. I don't go to the bad games. Big game John over here. But I do want to go to a road game.
Norman's further west than Kansas City. It takes about...
We will not be driving that.
About 13 hours.
Nope, not driving it then. Not driving it then because that ride back from Kansas City is like, I'm not doing this again.
Either way, we could stay with my buddy Mo from back home. We could stop halfway. I mean, I imagine Arkansas, we could stop somewhere. I got friends all over.
I don't know if I actually want to meet your buddy Mo from back home.
I
enjoy the image I have of your buddy Mo from back home more than I might actually enjoy Mo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could stay with my other buddy, Wilson, from back home.
Nah, he doesn't sound as cool as Mo. But I don't have an image of Wilson in my head, so maybe.
Looks like me.
But I'm good. But I'll not be staying with Wilson. I don't need two of you.
He looks like me.
Too much body. Too much body heat in that house.
A tad bit smaller
for
than
all
me.
Three of us. There's no way. That sounds like too much snoring and heat. I'm out.
He's a little shorter, and he's about 320 instead of 350.
Okay,
he's a little smaller than me.
Do you feel superior to him? Since you're a little bit taller and a little bit bigger, like if it,
nah.
He's a big dude, but he knows if he ever gets out of line, you can put him back in line type of
thing.
No,
he's a tough guy. He was a good lineman. We made a good pair, guard-tackle combo. We were guard-tackle, you know. We both.
Do you guys have like a special bond have? Yeah.
We go back a long way. We were friends.
Wait, were you a tackle or a guard? For some reason,
tackle. I played guard too, but okay, I was both.
I figured you, yeah, but for some reason I thought
I played guard up through my junior year, and then I'd gotten so big.
You ate yourself out of the position.
I'd gotten so big they wouldn't let me pull anymore.
Yeah,
they just wanted me to be a road grader.
They, as in the coaches, or they, as in the city, the state had a weight limit for pulling.
No, they.
It's like in Little League, when in my Little League, if once you got over, I think it was 160, they put a stripe on your helmet and you couldn't carry the ball anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, it was our coach.
It's like anything over 350, no more pulling guards. You have to pass block at all times.
It was our coaches, and really they were kind of dumb because I was fully capable of pulling.
You would think you would have created big holes.
I was fully capable of pulling.
They were trying to punish you. They were trying to get you to drop a couple pounds.
They were trying to make sure I could last the whole game with, you know, I guess. But they
without cardiac arrest.
They underestimated my endurance because they would make us run.
That's because you wouldn't go run in the practice. You didn't show them that you actually had some endurance.
No,
you just,
I tell you what it is. They were outdated. They were old school because they would make us go out and like run a mile.
Yeah.
And that, like, a guy like me can't do that.
You need 10-yard sprints.
Right. And coaches know that now.
10-yard sprints. It's not about a mile.
Coaches know that. But when we would get on the sled, I could go as many or more reps than anybody, just pushing the sled, and, you know, you get a little recovery period, and then you push it again.
Are you going high school athlete, mad at coaches route here?
I'm sure
every sports radio host has done before.
A little bit.
Anybody who's ever played high school sports has blamed their coaches. Is that what's happening here?
All I'm saying is
you could have maybe picked up some offers if you get to show that you could play guard and pull.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying I could have caked a few more linebackers.
Yeah.
If I could have pulled, you know, I was fully capable of pulling. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if Wilson had it in him, though. Could he have played tackle?
He was a little too short.
Yeah.
He didn't have the long arms like I do. Because, you know, that's what I'm known for. My arms are so long.
Like, your personal career might have been better, but the team's offensive line might have taken a hit.
Yeah, I don't know.
It does seem really dumb to make a big lineman run a mile, though. Like, when's that going to come
in
handy?
It is dumb. It is dumb.
Can you get 5 yards down the field on run blocking? Can you do that for a 10-minute drive? That's what I'd be testing you out.
That's what you need.
Can you sprint 10 yards? Can you make it down the field? Here's what I would do. Down the field once, down the field twice, you get 10 minutes. We're going to go whistle, sprint, whistle, sprint, whistle, sprint. Maybe 10 minutes is too long. Maybe it's more like 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes.
Do what
now?
Down the field and back?
Yeah.
10 minutes.
10 minutes is probably too long. I have to think about it. 8 minutes, 10-second increments, 10-yard increments. Just sprint for 10 yards. Just stop. You rest 20 seconds, you sprint 10 more yards. That's what I would do.
Oh, I thought you meant you give someone 10 minutes to go down the field and back.
No. we're gonna play it like a drive.
Okay.
You sprint 10 yards, you stop. There's 20 seconds of the play clock, whatever. You do it again.
Yeah.
You do it again.
Well, that's.
But you got to go down and back twice.
That's what we would do with the sled, except you push the sled 10 yards and then stop.
Oh, okay.
You know, so you have like a 100-pound weight. It's an individual man sled.
100 pounds seems a little light.
Well, it is, but when you're pushing,
most of your linemen would be probably 230 or something like that.
Yeah, but when you're pushing a sled, it's hard to. It's not really supposed to be the.
I just wanted to talk about resolution. That somehow we're talking about your high school football career.
Well, you kind of.
I did not bring it up.
You led us through this.
I don't think I did.
You started asking about my buddy Wilson from back home, because you know my buddy Mo from back home. So you started asking.
You brought up Wilson. I didn't even know Wilson. All I said was I didn't know if I wanted to stay with Mo. Somehow I really don't even go to Arkansas, but I kind of do now.
My buddy Mo from back home and my buddy Wilson from back home used to live together. They don't anymore.
Wilson from back home doesn't flow. You need to think of a different distinction.
Now, my buddy Clint from back home lives in a different town.
Not everyone could be from back home. Mo from back home kind of rhymes. I like him.
These are all real characters.
Yeah, your buddy Mo from back home, he works. Clinton and Wilson, they got to be two different guys.
Can you guess who Clint was named after?
I'm going to guess Bill.
He was born in 92.
I'm going to guess Bill, not Hillary.
Yeah. Well, no, not Hillary at the time, but
I wonder if he tells people now he was named after Hillary, or if he just tries to ignore that.
No, he still rolls with Bill, I think.
Rolls with Bill.
I don't know. He's not very political. What were you? So you don't want to go to Arkansas?
I'm open to it, I guess, but I just don't want to do it on Halloween.
Okay.
Because Halloween's falling on the weekend. I haven't really got to celebrate Halloween the last couple of years, and I love Halloween.
Well, then we won't go there.
Norman, Athens, and I feel like those are the only two options.
Just completely ruling out Columbia? Like,
I don't want to go to South Carolina.
No desire. Have you been?
To Columbia?
Yeah.
No, I want to keep it that way.
Okay.
I've driven past on the way to Charleston, but never stopped in Columbia.
Yeah. I went, you know, 2014.
I've never heard anybody say it was a fun time or that, you know what, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't miserably cold, and it wasn't really annoying listening to the cock screeching. What's the sound they make?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah.
Well, the you get to see the entrance, you know.
The sandstorm? Yeah. I can watch American Pie and watch Jason Biggs dance around to that music as he strips for Cheyenne Elizabeth.
You know, the 2001 Space Odyssey, you know, you get to see that.
No, thanks.
The cock is in the cage.
No, thanks.
And then eventually the cock breaks out of his cage.
Don't want to see that.
You know.
I live my life trying to not see things like that. Just generic entrances. No, thanks.
Like running through a letter shaped by a...
Excuse me?
Like when a band shapes a letter, a simple letter that, you know, you just run straight and then to the right.
Are you sitting here trying to say that Space Odyssey and this chicken running around is better than running through the power T? Is that what you're trying to
say? That's not what I'm saying, but...
It sounds like that's what you're trying to say.
You reference generic entrances.
Who else runs out of a letter? Does anyone else run out of a letter, Cam?
I don't know. It just seems, you know.
Does anyone else run out of a letter? That doesn't seem generic. That seems kind of original.
It seems pretty simple, though.
Simple, sure. But effective, yes. There's a reason there's a saying, simple
I like
but effective.
It. I
simple
like
does
it.
Not mean bad.
No, I like it. I
sounds
like,
it. Like you like the you like cocky more. You like cocky more than the tea?
No.
You a big cocky fan?
I tell you what I would like as an animal is what I would like.
We got Smokey.
Yeah, but
he's just a dog. Who do you think leads us through the tea?
He's just a dog.
What is cocky?
I'm not saying South Carolina's better. I'm saying I'd like to
you
have
want
a Ralphie.
Mike the Tiger?
I want Ralphie or Mike or like...
Mike? Mike doesn't do anything. Mike just sits in a damn cage and
wouldn't
dies.
Wouldn't it be badass if he led them out of the tunnel?
But he doesn't. He can't because you can't really trust the domestication of tigers.
Wouldn't it be
Can
something?
You trust the domestication of tigers,
the
Cam?
Two Vegas guys,
like
Siegfried and Roy
really.
Did.
And they got eight.
Siegfried and Roy
they got bit.
It.
They got attacked. You can't trust the domestication of tigers.
But would that not be the most badass entrance of all time?
No.
If a tiger led them out.
Yeah, it probably would be.
Like,
I can't trust it.
Just let free run out there, too, like not even on a leash.
You just sacrifice a couple band members from time to time, you know?
If Mike runs out enough, maybe they won't have a band anymore.
Feed Mike.
But LSU then wouldn't be able to play Neck, and people love Neck.
Yeah. I say you feed Mike a lot of meat right before he goes out
that
so
way
he's
he
not
won't
too
be hungry.
Hungry.
Okay.
And, you know,
he could have a taste for meat and wants more.
Well, if you lose an occasional trumpet player, then you lose an occasional trumpet player. You know, I mean, it's just kind of part of the deal. But think about how badass that entrance would be. And I don't like generic.
Mauling to start the game. That would be kind of cool.
I mean,
he's trying to deflect and make it about Mike as if he didn't say that
Ralphie?
He liked
Ralphie?
He liked cocky more than.
I do not know.
He likes cocky more than Smokey.
That is not.
Or he likes Mike more than Smokey, and he likes the Space Odyssey Sandstorm combo more than running through the tee.
No, now you're putting words in my mouth.
You're the one who was talking about cocky. Those came out of your mouth, not mine.
I don't think it's that great. You called it generic, and I thought, well, is it any more generic than running through it, you know?
I mean, you were just talking about how you hated EDM guy on your Twitter timeline.
Right.
And now you're caping for...
I am not caping for it. I just said... You said you hate generic entrances, and I said, is it any more generic than what we do?
When I hear South Carolina coming out, I just think of Jason Biggs humping a chair. That's what I think of.
Okay. I mean, I think, you know, Inner Sandman's generic. I don't, you know, I'm not all impressed by Virginia Tech's entrance.
Who's talking about Virginia Tech?
I think it's generic. I'm just saying.
Who's
I think
talking about it?
I think a lot of them are generic.
It's manufactured tradition. There's a difference. The T is tradition.
I could use a buffalo storming out of my locker room. All
cocky. How long have I been doing the whole cocky thing? How long has that been going on?
I don't know.
Feels like manufactured tradition.
Again.
And you fall for it. You like it.
Again, I never said it was better than
ours. Go to break, Cam. Go to break.
Never once.
Try to do some resolutions. My new resolution is to find a new co-host. All right, Tennessee plays Ole Miss tonight. 9 o'clock after the game, you can hear the voluntary reaction presented by Miller Lite. It's going to be a late night. Hopefully, it's going to be a late, quick, easy night. Tennessee comes in. Last I saw in my bookie, as 7.5-point favorites. It's game Tennessee. I believe they're down. Okay, so they're down to 6.5 right now on my bookie. But this is a chance for Tennessee to get another SEC win. They've had an easy schedule so far in the SEC, but Tennessee needs every win that they can get. This is another good opportunity. This is a home game. This is going to be Urosh's first home game. So maybe he could play a little bit better and be a little bit more comfortable, and things could kind of get back on normal for him and get on track for the Vols, who can get to 4-2 in the SEC, which would, you know, at worst case, put them tied, keep them tied for fourth place. You know, it's a log jam there. Right now there are currently four teams at 3-2. Tennessee is tied with Auburn, who lost two games last week, Alabama, Arkansas, and then there's Tennessee. You have South Carolina with only two losses, but they've only played four conference games. It's a big game tonight. It's one that Tennessee should win. Ole Miss is currently winless in the SEC. They're 0-4.
They've lost five in a row, too.
Yeah, if you go back and add Wichita State in, they got thumped at Wichita State. And then once they've got the SEC play, they had a home game against Arkansas, at Florida. Or excuse me, at A&M, home game versus Arkansas, at Florida, LSU. The LSU game, they lost by four. They were close in that game, but five in a row losses, four in the conference.
It does look like they've got a pretty good scorer, this Tyree guy. He's a lot of times he's in the 20s. He's usually their leading scorer. He had 36 the other night against LSU. I don't know if he's related to David Tyree or, you know, it could very well be a different family descent.
Very well, very easily.
But he's typically their leading scorer.
Tennessee needs a win tonight. Tennessee, if they get one, does this change? Like it seems like they will have, you know, survived the beginning of the season if they get this win, right?
Yeah, and they will have officially won 2/3 of their first 18 games. You know, 12-6 puts you – you're on the right trajectory to win 2/3 of your games. You know, if now, you end up 20-10, you're in a good spot.
Yeah, obviously the schedule will have been a little bit easier than it will be at the back half of the season.
That's what I'm worried about.
But that's what – I mean, if you're looking for the whole year, like that's one thing. But, you know, so say Tennessee starts SEC play at 4-2, tied for fourth place. At the worst, that's okay.
That's the definition of a bubble team, really. I mean, that's right where you want to be. But, yeah, like you said, though, the back half of the schedule is it's really, really tough. And I just – to me, it's unlikely that we'll be able to navigate it. But who knows? You know, we've won three of our last four. I mean, we've beaten the SEC teams that we're better than. So
– like, currently Tennessee only has one bad loss.
Georgia?
Yeah. That's the only, like, bad loss they have right now.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, I think, is in KenPom's top 50 ranking, so, like, it's not viewed as a bad loss. Like, okay. I think the only top 50 team that they've lost to, or the only team outside the top 50 they've lost to is Georgia, which hangs out at, like, 84.
Yeah.
I saw Billy tweeting about this over the weekend.
Yeah.
And you know when Billy gets going on his research, so.
Yeah, that guy spends a lot of time on tweeting that information out.
He's good. He does his job for the people.
I wonder if he doesn't have a lot of hobbies or, you know.
His hobby is sports. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm just, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I might see if he wants to hang out sometime or something.
Maybe.
Get him away from the phone, you know.
We used his stats. He did okay with that. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's good at it. You know,
but the point is, Tennessee is... has so far avoided bad losses. Now, do they lack good wins? Yes, they lack good wins.
Well, they have two. They were at least good at the time. I don't know if they'll end up being good. Like VCU and Washington, I don't know what they're up to right now.
But. Sure.
We got a chance for a good win Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game you can't look past Saturday, though, for because Saturday you're just kind of playing with house money. if you lose that, if you lose to Kansas, no one is going to expect, you know, anything different, right? For some reason, College Game Day is going there. Has that been explained? Why is ESPN's College Game Day going to Lawrence to watch us play Kansas?
Unless it was predetermined, like before the season, I don't know why you, you know, like we're a big brand, we're a big name basketball team.
Yeah, but currently, you know, currently ESPN doesn't have us in the field of 64. And we're no longer in the first four out. I guess it's 68 teams now. Then we're no longer in the first four out or the next four out. So, like, they don't even have us in the top 76 right
now. Well, I believe Jerry Palm has us in his first four out still.
Okay. ESPN does not right now.
I'll check on that, but I think that's true.
You can't afford to look ahead to Kansas and lose to Ole Miss. Like, of the weekend, like, this game is much more important. Agree or disagree, if you look at just this week?
Just, this game, well, I don't know. It depends on how you define it, because if you lost this game but then you beat Kansas, you'd have a really nice win over Kansas on the road.
Sure.
Like, I think that would more than even out, but obviously I think it's less likely that you beat Kansas.
Obviously.
So, in the grand scheme of things, if you're being realistic and where this team's going to be on the bubble at best, then by that definition, this Ole Miss game's more important. But,
if you beat Kansas, that's you know, I don't want to call it a season-defining win, but it would be a resume builder. I guess it would even out. It would be a plus, you know, if you lose to Ole Miss at home, but then you turn around and beat Kansas. That's probably a net positive. Right?
Oh, yeah. Certainly.
It does seem like a you're just looking at, like, what's more likely, what's more, you know, obviously, I'd imagine Tennessee's going to be, like, 14-point underdogs or so to Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry Palm does have us right now in his first four out.
Okay.
Our net is 64, whatever that means.
That's, like, their little rating.
Our RPI.
Yeah, it's the new RPI.
I miss the days of the RPI.
Yeah, they really shouldn't have gotten rid of that. Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Why would you do that to us?
We've never made a Final Four since this net ranking came in, you know. It's really stupid when you put it that way. Yeah. I don't like it. Why does everything got to change all the time, you know? Some things should just stay the same.
Some things.
Whatever happened to the good old days? The RPI.
Ole Miss isn't in the top 100, I don't believe.
Kansas is projected currently as a one seed. I think I'll be more excited for this game against Kansas if we win tonight. Like, I don't want to get too excited for Kansas because I don't think we're going to win. But, you know, still, just to, like you said, house money, just to go up there with a shot at it.
Yeah.
To be 12-6 going in, I think that'll be good. Whereas if you go into that game coming off a lost Ole Miss, 11-7, that sounds a lot worse.
No, that's a huge game tonight because it's just a game that Tennessee can't afford to lose. Some people might have already given up on tournament aspirations or whatever, don't really care if Tennessee makes a tournament. I'm not one of those people. And plus, I want to see this team play better and kind of get going at home again. They haven't played very good at home lately. But Ole Miss, yeah, currently 113th in the net rating. This would be Tennessee's worst loss by far. They have yet to win a road game. This is a game Tennessee should be able to win. We'll kind of dive into the matchups a little bit after the break. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Drink what?
Tennessee playing Ole Miss. Voluntary actually goes live after the game tonight. On Saturday for the Kansas game, we will have a live voluntary reaction. The first time we've ever done this, we'll be live at Hops and Hollers. So you could come watch the game with us and then hang around. We'll get you on the air. It could be like you're a caller, except you're there in person with us. So come watch the game with us for the Kansas game and then have the option to hop on and give us your reaction to it as we do our first ever voluntary reaction live remote from Hops and Hollers.
Fancy.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Although I don't know if I'm doing it or Russell's doing it. He's been usually been doing the Saturday edition, so yeah. Maybe you can hop on with Russell. Maybe we'll both be there. I don't know. Kind of depends. We'll figure it out. But you will have that option this Saturday for the Kansas game. Ole Miss isn't very good at basketball. They don't have any good wins. Other than, like, Penn State. Penn State's okay, I guess. But other than that, they haven't beat anybody even in the top 200 of college basketball. This team isn't very good.
Where's Marshall Henderson when you need him?
Marshall Henderson is long gone. I don't know where he's at. They do still have that Brian Tyree guy. He's been pretty good for them.
That's the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Brian. That's
yeah.
his name.
Brian. Yeah. They still got Tyree. He's there. He's the only one that's actually, like, you know, pretty good for, like, SEC level, I guess, that has proven at least. Tennessee will have to watch him, which does worry me a little bit. In the past, you know, if Lamonte Turner was still on this team, maybe you wouldn't even worry about Tyree because, you know, Lamonte is one of the better defenders or was one of the better defenders in the country, especially the conference. Now I do wonder what happens when Tennessee has to try to stop a guard. It didn't work against LSU, if you remember, right? We had nobody that could stop Smart.
Yeah, no, they tore us apart.
Yeah, and Smart had another big game against us. Tennessee couldn't do anything about it. So, like, can Tennessee slow down a good perimeter player? I don't even know who our stopper is. Who is our stopper on defense? Do we make Bowden do it and then ask him to also be our leading scorer? Do you ask Pines to do it, even though, like, you know, some of these guards are going to be too quick for Pines and he's kind of more better suited to play, you know, kind of down low a little bit and block some shots and, you know, show some versatility on pick and rolls or whatever, but who's our primary defender?
Well, I don't know. You don't want to let Tyree get hot, but the good thing is he's coming off a 36-point game. You rarely see guys replicate that.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That's the Baltimore Ravens trying to stop Derrick Henry method. Like, yeah. Hey, he did it a couple times. He can't do it again.
Surely not going to happen again.
Yeah. Things like that happen in sports a couple times, and you could keep it rolling for a little bit. It's called getting hot.
Well, you look at what happened, too, in that game. They played LSU tight. It was 80-76, and he scored the majority of the points. So I got a feeling if Ole Miss has 76 again, we're probably going to lose the game.
So, okay, so you look at that as like, hey, Tennessee might not be able to score with Ole Miss type of thing?
Well, no, absolutely not. I mean, yeah. If he gets hot, like if he goes off for 30, yeah, I think we're probably losing that game. I mean, we need to keep this our style of play, which is just awful, ugly, disgusting, hard to watch. That's how we're going to win games, when they're hard to watch.
Huh.
The games that you really hate watching that you don't want to see.
Yeah.
Those are good for us, which I feel like is every game we play. So yeah. Maybe they're not always good for us.
Yeah, we were kind of the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies.
We sure did hamper Vanderbilt the other night. We put it on them.
They didn't score any three-point baskets. We deed that ass up.
Yeah. So come on in, Ole Miss. Get some. Come on in. Would be cool if Marshall Henderson was still playing, though.
Last I saw, he was, as of like 2018, as of something in 2018, he was playing in Italy.
Italy.
Yeah, I was going to say Israel, but okay, Italy. Okay.
Andy Kennedy. No longer there.
Will Andy Kennedy be on the call tonight?
I feel like that's
a think
bias.
Andy Kennedy's really good on the call. Well, we get Dane Bradshaw sometimes.
Well, that's okay.
That's okay? I like Andy Kennedy.
Dane Bradshaw's not biased.
I think Andy Kennedy's pretty good at his job, so I hope he's on the call tonight. It'd be nice to hear him critique Mississippi.
I'm still waiting on him to join Rick Barnes' staff.
You reported that first. We'll see if you end up getting the credit on that if it ever happens.
Yep, I did report that. All I said was I saw him together.
That's not all you said.
They could be friends.
That's not all you said.
Well, I just speculated, you know.
I remember a report.
It's an official report that I saw them together.
They're not very good at interior defense, so if Tennessee it's been Tennessee's issue so far this year, but can Tennessee get the ball in the post? Can they get the ball to the rim? If they can, they might be able to score some points because Ole Miss isn't very good at defending those. Teams are shooting over 64% against them at the rim. That's not good. Which means I'm going to be really frustrated tonight if Tennessee is not going to the rim. Like if Jordan Bowden is doing his mid-range three-point contested game and not getting to the rim, That's going to be bad coaching. That's going to be bad execution, whatever you want to call it. Tennessee should be trying to get there and lay the ball up as much as possible. Ole Miss doesn't have any shot blockers. They can't play defense inside.
You said the line on this game 7.5?
6.5. It's down to 6.5 at my bookie.
I think we should win this game probably, 62-55, something like that.
So right around the number?
62-56.
Yeah. This would be a bad loss. This would be one when I think frustration would start boiling over. The Georgia game last week was bad, but at least you're on the road and you're playing Anthony Edwards, who's a top three pick, if not number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
You can get by with some of that. You could accept sometimes that, hey, A, you're not going to win on the road in conference, and you're also sometimes you just can't stop a certain player. Losing to Ole Miss tonight would have some frustrations really boiling over.
It would, and we'd have to, just kind of move on from Tennessee basketball at that point.
And I don't want to do that because we're already kind of hitting a content lull.
Mm. Yeah, we'd have to start talking about other things.
It was nice last year when we could go from football right into Tennessee basketball.
It was nice that we were very good.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to follow this team into March. You just got to hope for the best. I mean, they've got a roster now that's going to gel. Like, there's not going to be as much, you know what I mean?
I'm still wondering who the hell is going to dribble the basketball and create. Like, can they not turn the ball over? Because you still got 8 turnovers last week, last game against Vanderbilt from Vescovi and Triple J.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. But, I mean, they've at least got all their guys in there now. Like, this is what the team's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more fluctuating pieces. Like, are we going to get this guy back? This guy's hurt. Who's going to play here? Like, at least we can start to settle in, kind of.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe that'll help. Just have the team be able to settle.
You know, you talked about the game being the Tennessee needs to ugly it up. I don't think that's the case tonight. I think uglying it up tonight would be a red flag, an even bigger red flag. I think this should be a game where the offense actually looks crisp.
I'm just saying all our games are ugly.
No, I know. But I think, A, you've had more time with Vescovi. You're going to be at home. But with how bad they are on defense, especially at the rim, like Tennessee should get into the 70s, I would hope.
The 70s?
Even if it's the low 70s, like Tennessee should be able to score.
We've never been in the 70s.
It's been a while. Have we scored in the 70s all year?
Oh, I'm sure we did in some trash.
Against good teams, have we done that yet?
I doubt it.
Yeah, we got to 75 against Washington. 72 against VCU. Okay, so we've gotten to the 70s.
If we get in the 70s.
Twice. Twice.
Are we undefeated times we've been in the 70s?
That is correct. We are undefeated if we score over 70 points.
You mean we didn't get in the 70s against those early teams?
Yeah, no, we did. I was just counting Power 5 teams.
Yeah,
I mean, we got into the 70s against UNC Asheville, Murray State, Washington, Alabama State, or Alcorn State. The 80s against Murray State. We had that huge second half where we looked like we were going to be really good. Got in the 70s against VCU and Florida A&M.
Yeah, so we're kind of an offensive juggernaut, really.
I wouldn't go that far. We scored 69 against Missouri. That's close enough. Let's round up. If we score over 69 points, we're undefeated.
Do you want me to say nice?
No, I was just telling you that's what we scored against Missouri. We were asking about 70, and we got to 69. I'm asking you, you don't have to say nice. I mean, it is nice that you're undefeated at 69 points and above, because that means if you score, your defense can usually hold the team down, or you've played loser teams, but still.
You know, I used to think the 69 thing was kind of played out, but it still works. It still works.
Some things are just classics, bro.
Some things still work, yeah. Especially when you see it, like, on the internet. That's when it works best.
Because
you always know what the comments are going to say. Like, no matter what it is, like, beloved philosopher so-and-so dead at 69. Nice.
Nice.
It's always going to be there.
It's nice to just have things you can rely on, you know what I mean?
Like, another person?
Just consistencies.
Flipped the other way?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you stupid. It just means stuff to rely on. Like, it's a comfort joke. It's a comfort joke. You know what I mean?
It's really not that comfortable unless you're...
The joke.
And the one on top is kind of...
Okay, enough. Tennessee needs to win this basketball game. Tennessee needs to score points. I would be worried if Tennessee gets stuck in the 60s, at least, especially the low 60s. Score some points. This defense is bad. Show me that you have figured some things out on offense. Go out and cover the damn spread. Go out and win. Let's get to 4-2. The Von Terry will be live after the game. Presented by Miller Lite. Listen in. I think it's going to be me and Hayden again is the plan. Unless I could trick one of these young guys into saying my throat's too sore and I can't do it.
You and Hayden, huh?
The new dynamic duo. I'm molding Hayden in case you leave.
Oh, go to hell.
I'm a chubby chaser.
You go to hell.
Stick with us. Last calls on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.